This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we thank you that we have this amazing privilege, Lord, of being able to study your word openly, Lord, without fear of persecution. Thank you, Lord, that we have that you did not only send us a WhatsApp or something, Lord, but you sent your word in the flesh, you sent your son, and you gave us your word. And we thank you, God, that we can consecrate this year's Bible school to you, God. We pray for every soul, Lord, even those that are still thinking about it, wondering about it, and those that have been invited, and those that will be invited. God, we pray that you draw us to your word, draw us to yourself, Lord, that we would have a desire and a hunger for you, Lord, for your word, God, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your blessing on the word, Lord, and we pray for each one of us here that we would draw near to you, Father, as we have the opportunity to do, Lord. We commit to you this time together as well, Lord. We commit to you every word and every thought. And we ask that you would speak, breathe your word into us this evening, Lord. Make it alive, Lord. And thank you that you meet each one of us here, each single one. You meet us where we're at. You know us so intimately, Father. So we commit this time to you. We ask, let your kingdom come, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Son, do you mind moving that fan just a little bit, not away. It's just picking up on the mic. Thanks. Thank you. Another one. Great. It's a privilege to share the word this evening. Before I do that, if we welcomed some visitors earlier on, if you joined us after that or during the worship and it's your first time here this evening and you haven't received the welcome pack, won't you raise your hand briefly? We'd like to bless you with a small welcome pack. Is there anybody? Great stuff. Welcome, guys. They're at the back. That's it. There we are. Just, if you just raise it briefly, welcome, guys. There's some information in there. And there's a little card that we'd love for you to fill in and just hand in at the back. Thanks so much for joining us. Welcome. Great. Thanks so much. It's that thing that Gareth was speaking about earlier. I'm in that season of life. So I go to bed with one person, and some mornings I wake up with five. Me and four others in the bed. And it's great fun, and it's a great blessing and a privilege. Emily, the little one, she's two. She's probably the cutest thing on two legs that I know at this point, praise the Lord. And I'm a little bit biased on her. But she hears such a lot of things from her brother and sister. It's really scary. And the last two Sundays, there's a certain time in the morning where the local church that's close to our house, the bell rings, right? Church bell. And then she gets all excited. She says, "I can hear the church bell." I know, in Afrikaans. And then starts running through the house. And then she's connected it with, "We have to hurry up." She's figured out that if we are still at home, when the church bell rings, then we must hurry up now. And she's like, "What's with Vinnig Mark? You know, we have to hurry up now." And she's running through the house saying, "I can hear the church bell." Anyway, so that's really funny. David, a 4-year-old, he's now in the stage where Lego is the thing, right? So besides his skateboard, which he's still mastering, Lego is amazing, you know, and he loves to build stuff. And the stuff is incredibly expensive. We had to sneak in a few of these fake Lego sets on the sides. You know, some of them are really terrible. Some of them actually okay. Some of the makes. But what he's doing these days, he's quite sharp. He picks stuff up. He notices how things work. You know, you look under a car to try and figure out how stuff works. And you'll see a crane. You'll see a different aircraft. The other day we saw an aircraft hangar. And I've noticed now the next thing that comes after you see something like that is, "Dad, can we build one of these when we get home?" You know, Can we build one? That's the question. That's great, but can we build one? You know, and I'm like, so my Lego building skills are being tested to the max. It's but because at his age, he's really keen and he does build himself. But when we're building something like that, it's pretty much me building, you know. But anyway, so if you and then if we want to build an aircraft hangar, then I tell him, listen, son, we don't have enough blocks for that. So if you have a whole box of Legos lying at home that you want to throw out, before you throw it out, just have mercy on us. No, I'm just kidding. But so that's great fun. In any case, this evening we are continuing in our series around a consecrated life. Last week, Philip ministered a powerful message around just living a consecrated life. Spoke about the Nazarites and just that principle. And I want to really encourage you, if you missed out on that, to get hold of that recording, to download it. And this evening, I'm going to look at the concept of fasting. Now, fasting it's almost like the E word. You know, when you say that in around Christian circles, people get scared. The E word, evangelism. Yeah, so when you say, it's not, you know, if you check on YouTube, the top 10 Christian messages in terms of views, I will wager guess that fasting will not be there among those top 10 hot topics, popular Christian messages. So I realize that, but I believe it's one of those things that, although it's an uncomfortable thing at its nature, I believe there's a key for us if we were to click something around how that works. I believe there's a key for us that's going to transform many lives here this evening. So I want to really encourage you, even if you have heard of fasting before, just to trust the Holy Spirit to minister to you about this evening. Okay, so what I've picked up, which is interesting in Scripture, is that there's many times a reference being made to the battle between the spirit and the flesh, right? You know, the desire, the carnal desires of the body, and then the spirit, and there's this interaction. Okay, we've been made of three parts: we are body, soul, and spirit, and what's actually a big part of our victory as believers lies in us being able to live from a place where our spirit is in charge. Because when we live in a place where our soul or our body is in charge, normally things go pear-shaped down the line. You know, we end up going off God's plan. So we have been made in the image of God, so we've been created as spirit beings. And when the spirit is in charge, we are able to follow Christ and enjoy that victory in Him. So that's a big part of the whole concept of fasting, is we are aligning ourselves so that we can live from a place where our spirit being, our spirit man is in charge, is leading the way, not the flesh, okay? And guys, I must be honest with you, I've been incredibly blessed by God. Married the most amazing lady. Not only is she the most beautiful woman on the planet, but she's just incredible on all levels. She is an incredible cook. Some of you can testify of that. She bakes amazing. And look, guys, I must be honest, I like to eat. Okay? It's not a joke about that. My wife likes to cook and I like to eat. Isn't that an amazing combination, you know? That's a winner. That's a winning combo right there. Some of the cakes she makes, she doesn't eat at all. Like carrot cake. She makes the best carrot cake, but she never eats it. She doesn't like carrot cake and she doesn't eat it. It's more for me, hey? I mean, hallelujah. That's why I have to exercise regularly. But the point is, this is something that we wrestle with, because this is something we like. We like eating. Right? I like it. I think many people do. There's this term called hangry. Some of us, when we don't eat, I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand now, but you know who you are. If you haven't eaten you know, and you come into this space. I know somebody like this, somebody that I love dearly. When they get into the space where they haven't eaten recently or in a certain number of hours, things get serious. Things get serious. And you shouldn't stand between them and their meal. Don't get in that space. Okay, so and we see in the scripture, right? Right in the beginning, Adam and Eve, there's a temptation to disobey God. And what is the big part of the temptation? Is this fruit. This fruit that they're not supposed to eat, but it looks amazing, it looks great, and they go for it. We see Esau, he sells his birthright, his inheritance, because he's hungry, and his brother is a cunning guy, and he says, listen, I've got this stew ready, you can have some of it, if you know, and he goes for it. So there's been this thing I've read this book that I can really recommend. It's called Fasting by Jensen Franklin. A lot of what I'm talking about this evening is he refers to. And he talks about this God, the king stomach. Talks about this king that we worship often in our life is our stomach. You know, everything is kind of, okay, I'm going to a meal, or I'm preparing for another one, or I'm planning to have a meal with somebody. So it's a big part of our lives, and that's partly why it's a difficult thing for us, and it's uncomfortable. Now, in Scripture, we see fasting all over the place, and this is part of the challenge, I believe, for us modern-day believers. It's not a popular topic to preach about. We don't get many sermons around it, but I believe it's very important. Let's have a look quickly at Matthew chapter 6. Now, Jesus is talking about some really basic Christian disciplines here. I'm just going to mention the first two. But I want you to see where he pitches fasting, right? I believe as believers, we are comfortable with the idea that prayer is part of our Christian walk. Amen? Yes? Okay, prayer. And we've heard about giving, right? And Jesus puts fasting right next to these two. Let's read from verse 1. Watch out, don't do your good deeds publicly. You'll be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give. So he's not saying if, he's saying when, right? Giving is part of our lives as believers. When you give to someone in need, and he explains what not to do. He says, give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Some translations specify will reward you publicly. Skip to verse 5, when you pray. So again, it's not an if, it's an assumption that as believers we pray. When you pray, and then he says something about not to do it, please go and read through all of that. And he says, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. And then he goes on, and he puts it right next to when you give and when you pray. He says, and when you fast. It's not that one time in your life, or maybe, or if. He says, when you do this. In other words, as you do it regularly as a disciple, as a disciplined follower of Christ, when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, and no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father who sees what you do in private. And your Father who sees everything will reward you. Don't store up. Now, and this is what he connected with right there. He says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy. And thieves do not break in and steal. So immediately he connects it with something that is of eternal value. Something that maybe doesn't make sense to us physically. Definitely if you ask the stomach or the body, it's not cool. But there's an eternal value that is where the power lies. Amen. Okay. So he speaks of a discipline, a basic discipline that's part of our walk as believers. And this may be news to some of us. And I remember I was a Christian for 10, maybe 8 or 10 years already before I heard about this thing, fasting. Okay, so I was like, what? Not eating? You know, that sounds serious. In any case, There's a whole bunch of different fasts in this, mentioned in Scripture. If you know, that's another thing. We can't really avoid it because it's all over Scripture. It's in there. It's in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament. It's every major character in the Bible. There's probably some reference to them fasting. And I want to mention quite a few quickly. Job is a good example. He did some serious fasting. He went through some hectic things. And there's some serious prayer and fasting that happened, and the incredible turnaround of that situation. Moses fasted. The life of David, we see it often fasting and praying. Elijah fasted at one point, specified that he fasted 40 days. He saw incredible breakthrough happen after that. Joseph fasted, not always out of choice. Apparently, those days in prison, your family brought you food to prison. And he was away far off in a different country in prison, so I suspect he was fasting quite a lot. Paul mentioned specifically at one point he fasted 14 days. Esther, it's a famous one as well. She called the whole nation to fast with her. Daniel is a famous one. He's got a fast named after him. Have you heard of that one? He fasted. There's two ones, twice it's recorded specifically that he fasted, and the detail is given. And just on that point briefly, there's a lot of people that name this one fast, the Daniel fast, but there's no legalistic thing around that. It's a partial fast. So I don't understand why people call it a Daniel fast, but I don't think there's a scriptural thing that says when you do a Daniel fast, you must eat this and this, okay? So don't get legalistic around that. So then on that point, there's a whole bunch of different ways we do it. We do it corporately, as we're doing this month. This is a month of consecration, a month of prayer. So we are taking every Wednesday, and we are praying together as a church. And then we in our small groups in the evening, Wednesday evenings, most of the small groups meet. And that's the time when we break a fast, spend some time praying together. So you're very welcome to join us on that. And then the last Wednesday of the month, which is the 28th, we'll do the three-day fast, which you're also welcome to join. So this is why we're running through this. This is why we preaching through this as well, but please feel free to join us, okay? So we do it corporately, we do it individually, we have what they call a water fast. Water fast is not when you don't drink water, it's when you drink only water, okay? So that is a great one to do. I've heard of people doing an absolute fast where they don't even drink water. That's quite hectic. Medically speaking, that's quite risky, but I've known some that have felt the conviction to do so. And let me just say this, and I realize I didn't say this morning, but medically speaking, if you're having medical challenges, you should definitely get some advice before you go on serious fasts, all right? Especially if it's an absolute one or even a water fast. So if you're having medical challenge or if you've been taking medication, please just get some good advice before you go into a fast. So some people say, I'm gonna not watch series for a month or for a day, and they call it a fast. Or some say, you know, this gymming thing or this CrossFit thing is kind of taking over my life, so I'm gonna set that aside for a while. I'm gonna just kind of get my life into my priorities in order, and that's really healthy. But technically, that's not a fast. Okay, some of us have been fasting from exercise for years, and I don't know if there's benefits from that. But in any case, the principle of seeing, okay, well, this thing in my life, it could even be a relationship, but it could be a thing that I'm doing is taking a lot of my time, and I'm finding it a lot easier to get up to go gym than to get up to read the Word. Then I say, maybe I should just give it a break a few weeks or just to get stuff into order again, okay? So that's a healthy thing to do, but technically it's not a fast, okay? Because fasting is about not eating. Are you with me? Yes, okay, there are two people that are with me. That's good. Some people say, I'm not going to watch TV for a month, or I'm not going to watch movies or Facebook for 3 weeks or something. That's great. So please do that, but technically it's not a fast, okay? But it's good to do those things, okay? I'm just going to run through a whole bunch of different elements around fasting, and then I'm going to get a bit more specific. When we fast, it's important to acknowledge, to see what fasting is not, what it's not about. Okay, so fasting is not about losing weight or being healthy. Now, at the same time, those are incredibly great side benefits, or what you can call it, perks of fasting, is that it is very healthy, all right? And it's, there is probably a weight loss element if you do it long enough. But that's not why we do it. Amen? So it's apparently been medically proven that fasting is incredibly healthy to do it from time to time. There's some research around this. It's really some great stats in terms of how healthy it is, and how good it is for your body in terms of detox and all kinds of other things. So yes, those benefits are there, but that's not the primary reason why we do fast. Okay? And let me just say this from the start. If you are fasting, if you're joining a fast like with the one we're doing this month, and you're not spending time in Scripture and in prayer, then you're just starving yourself. Okay? Then you're missing the benefit, or you're missing the real power in it. The fasting without prayer and time in Scripture is not beneficial, maybe besides for the physical benefits. Are you with me this evening? So when we do set aside time to fast, make sure that you use that time in addition to your normal devotions or your normal prayer time, you spend the time that you would be preparing food normally, or making food, or having food. You know, if I had to calculate all of that, the amount of time we spend making food and eating food and thinking about food and making coffee and drinking coffee, that actually for some of us, it's going to be quite a chunk of our day. So the point is to take that time and spend it in the Scripture, spend it in prayer, and seek God. Are you with me? Amen. All right, so, and while we do it, have a specific thing in mind. Don't make it too vague. Don't kind of shoot in the air and hope for the best. I'm just going to not eat chocolate for 3 months, although that is always a good thing. But don't make it too vague. Trust God to have a specific, or one or two or three specific points that you're saying, I'm trusting for A, B, C. I'm engaging God about this, or I'm praying about this, or I'm asking about this. We're going to look at reasons why we fast in a moment. But be specific, so that that you can put your faith and your focus on the specific thing. All right. Now, very importantly, another thing that fasting is not, is we do not fast to improve our standing with God. We do not fast to gain favor or merit with God. And we do not fast to get rid of our sin. There's only one thing that can deliver us of our sin and that can bring us into right standing with Jesus and with God, and that is the blood of Christ. Okay. So right off the bat, we do not fast to try and impress God or perform for Him or impress Him or gain points of some sort. There's no way that we can improve our standing with Him, because it's by the blood of Jesus that we are in right standing with Him. And it's the blood of Christ that cleanses us of our sin, not fasting or prayer or any performance from our side. Okay, I just want to clarify that. But there's an element here. When we do fast, we become aware of where we fall short. Okay? That's not the answer, but when we do fast, we become sensitive and we become more aware of maybe areas that we should be repenting of, or stuff that we should be dealing with God about. All right? So that's a really important part. So, fasting does not change God as much as it changes us. And it's one of those incredible things that we see all over Scripture, is that God, in His wisdom, has chosen to use our prayers, the prayers and the lives of people on earth, to see His kingdom come.
Yeah.
That's for some incredible reason God has chosen to see His kingdom and His will done on earth to a great extent through the lives of people. So through our prayers, through our lives, through stuff we do and say, He's chosen to see His kingdom come on earth to a large extent through us, right? So through this body, through the body of Christ on the earth. And that is, so when we fast, we bring ourselves in line with God's will. When we fast, we align ourselves, we kind of declutter. When we fast, we kind of get rid of all the stuff that's consuming our minds and thoughts and hearts, often emotions. And it's if we're able to focus and declutter and really separate what we want from what we really need. That happens when we fast. And it enables us to recognize what is really important. Are you with me this evening? That's a big, important part of fasting, is that it declutters, it helps us to focus, and helps us to bring us in line with the will of God. Okay, we'll get back to that a bit more in a moment. And so I mentioned the fast needs to be, obviously, be a lot of scripture, a lot of prayer. And that's the big element of living in the Spirit and living by faith that happens when we fast. The flesh has to be secondary and put aside. The desires of the flesh and the body have to be, you know, we die to those and we sow into the Spirit. And we get focused in the Spirit, and we get empowered in the Spirit, we get clarity in the Spirit, and we are empowered to truly live by faith, right? So when you're saying, I'm not going to eat for a couple of days, that in itself is a step of faith, right? Guys, you know, we read about these guys, these intercessor ladies. We met with Reinhard Bonker once in one of his big outreaches. He was speaking about these ladies that intercede for him all over the planet. He had these ladies that pray for him, intercede for him. And he says some of them are the most incredible giants in the faith. You never heard of them, you know, won't see them in the news. But when you get to heaven one day, they'll be up there next to the apostles. But you'll see this little lady, and he says you chat to them, and they talk about a fast. And this lady says, yes, there was this one time when I got to day 45. It was really tough. Tough day, you know, on a water fast, you know, and they were like, what? So, you know, there's this really, this powerful dynamic of stepping out in faith, doing something that seems physically impossible. In itself, that is a step of faith. It's living by faith, right? Okay. My computer has fallen asleep, which means I should be preaching quicker. All right, let's continue. So I want to read this next scripture first. So Philippians 3, I referred to this earlier, from 17. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example, for I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite, or some translations say their God is their belly. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. Flesh, carnal desires, you know, focusing on the here and the now. But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for Him to return as our Savior. It speaks about that even society we're living in, that, you know, that we can recognize this. There's a desire after stuff that gratifies the flesh. And he says it's temporal and it's not of eternal value. And he says, be careful of these things. Okay, so we see that in our lives. Okay, let's go on. Okay, so I'm going to quickly look at a couple of reasons that Jensen Franklin mentions in his book about why, what are some of the reasons that why we do fast. I'm going to run through them quite briefly, so just stick with me. Firstly, when we are in a time of crisis, that's a good time to fast, right? There's a lot of examples of that in Scripture. There's a time where I mentioned earlier when Esther was in a time of crisis, there was this plot to kill all the Jews, and she called the nation to fast with her, and as she was going to approach the king, and there was the whole nation fasted together. There was a time of crisis, and the Lord delivered them in an amazing way. And there was a time when Apostle Paul, when he just came to Christ, he was persecuting Christians, and then he got that experience with God on the road to Damascus. And after that, the people that he was working with to kill Christians, they wanted to kill him, right? Because now he's become a believer. So his life was in danger. He was in a crisis, and he fasted. I think it was 14 days or something. He fasted through that time of crisis. And but probably if any one of us have considered fasting, it's because of a crisis. So that is a big one. It's when somebody is critically ill, or you're trusting for something, or a miracle, it's a time of crisis, it's a good time to fast. Amen. Even maybe when our nation was in times of crisis, I know there's been times around elections and around the 94 election specifically, where many thousands of believers all over this country were praying and fasting. And the Lord did amazing miracles, and He's still doing them. Amen? So, number two, vision. And that's partly why we fast at the beginning of the year. We were seeking God for direction. We're seeking vision. We're trusting God to clarify vision, to clarify where He's taking us. Maybe for you and your studies, or you and your family, or you and your job, and maybe you started your own business, and you're trusting God for direction. That's a good place to fast. Say, Lord, show me the direction You've prepared. Give me strategy, how to go about this, how to see Your kingdom come in my studies, or with my family, or in this year. I'm trusting You for vision and direction, right? So we see this in the life of Daniel. This is one of the times that he fasted. Let's just skip that one, and I'll refer to that just now. Let's go to Daniel. From verse 1 there. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message, and he had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. In Scripture, you often see them using the word mourning and fasting interchangeably. Mourning 3 full weeks, I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So he'd set aside 3 weeks to fast. He read something in Scripture. He got a kind of revelation of God's will. He was studying Scripture, right? The important part of this. And then he was saying, listen, to be able to pray God's will into being, I'm going to fast. And please go and read the rest of this chapter. And it's such a powerful example, because in response to his time of prayer and fasting, God sends an angel to speak to him. We see this a couple of times in Scripture. We see people fasting and praying. I don't know about you, but this would be a good answer to any prayer of mine if an angel pitches at my house. so an angel arrives. The angel says, listen, sorry it's taken us 3 weeks, type of thing. And it says, but the moment he started to pray, God dispatched the angel. The moment, immediately, there was a response to his prayer. But the angel was prohibited from coming by powers of darkness that were coming against him, right? There's a battle going on in the spirit. So Daniel's persistent prayer and fasting, and then the angel Michael had to join this battle, and they prevailed, and they won the victory, and then after 3 weeks of prayer and fasting, the angel actually arrived. But my question is always, what would happen if Daniel gave up after 2 days? Isn't that what we often do? We feel, yes, I must pray about something. I'm full of faith and I'm excited about it. And then after half an hour, I'm like, God hasn't answered my prayer. Or maybe if we're really spiritual, after a week, we're starting to doubt our faith. And I'm joking about this, but this is real, guys. Often when we pray about stuff, we get discouraged if we don't see an answer. We're in the microwave generation, right? Everything happens. Take a lot at your door tomorrow morning, right? Next day. So, there was a place of persisting in that prayer and fasting. It's not like God was holding out on him or saying, listen, just suffer a bit more. There was a battle going on in the spirit. I want to really encourage us, if you've been wrestling with something in prayer, or you've been praying for somebody or some situation, persist. Amen. Continue. Stick at it. Get somebody to pray with you. Right. So we see him getting the vision, getting understanding of God's will, and then praying it into being. Okay. So that's one of the big reasons why we fast. Then, thirdly, very briefly, for self-examination and consecration. That's partly why we're fasting also now, is for consecration. You'll see often in Scripture, guys talking about the nation of Israel being called for a day of fasting. Often that would have been for a time of consecration, or just kind of examining ourselves. Where am I at? Am I still following Christ? How am I doing spiritually? And that's really healthy. I want to encourage us. That's something we can do even on a weekly basis, or at least a month. Normally, in our normal program as a church, we do every first Monday of the month. We fast together. And then we come together here at the school to pray, to break the fast. Great habit, okay? So we do it for, like I said, self-examination, consecration. And then, very importantly, before a major step forward. So in Scripture, we see that before a major battle, before a major change. It could be maybe you feel you should move to a different country, or you're changing jobs. That's a good time to fast. You know, even if you've heard the voice of God, even if you feel you know what God's will is, take some time out to fast and consecrate that thing, or bring that thing before God. And we see that in Scripture. There was one or two examples where the guys were going into battle with the Word of God, with God's instruction, and then not being victorious. And then coming back and what's going on? And then only after a time of prayer and fasting did they actually win the victory. So I want to encourage you, if you're in business, or you in your studies, or in your whatever big decision you're making, or big change, or take time out to fast about it. Even if maybe you get this wonderful job offer, you know, it all ticks all the boxes, incredible career opportunity, amazing salary. Don't just grab it. Fast. Take time out. Pray. Bring it before God. It's not only God that opens doors. Amen. Yes, that's a word for somebody. And very importantly, something, a big decision like, or big step forward like getting married. You ever considered fasting? That's a good place to fast. Amen? Can I have at least one amen on that one? So, I remember, you know, when Anna and I were dating, there was some serious prayer and fasting going on at one point, you know, because I wanted to make sure. You know, praise God, he was gracious and all worked out well. But I remember there was a time when I was wrestling about what direction God wanted to take me in. I was pursuing career in engineering, and I wanted to be a test pilot, and I was in the Air Force, and, you know, I was wrestling through where God wanted me to be. And there was a couple of times that I spent time fasting. And it's so amazing to see how God responds to us now. We get clarity in those times. And I remember when actually the time where, for the first time, I heard God call me into ministry was also a time where I was fasting for 3 weeks. I was living in England at the time. And I was working at a hotel, actually, and we could eat at the hotel, right? So it's always these big buffets. And my friends would, you know, I was doing a kind of a partial fast, just a few bits of vegetables and stuff and water. So I would just kind of go past all the all the nice things, you know, and just, you know, pick out the little. My friend just shook his head. Anyway, it felt very long, but it was. I just realized it was such a precious time because God was directing me into what He was calling me to do with my life. Okay, where we got to? All right. So before a major decision or major battle or major change, actually, the first fast recorded in Scripture was about somebody getting married. Did you know that? Genesis 24. Eliezer is fasting because he has to go and find a wife for Isaac. Now, I'm sorry to say, but most of you, nobody else is going to find a wife for you. So you're going to have to do the fasting for yourself, okay? But that's the first one recorded in Scripture in Genesis chapter 24. Okay, all right. Let's go on. Number five. We fast when we're interceding on behalf of somebody else, when you're praying for somebody else, when you're, for instance, praying for somebody that maybe knows the right thing, but it's not doing the right thing and is in danger of having the judgment of God come on their lives. There's an example of that in Scripture in the life of Ahab, where the prophet came to him and said to him, this is what God's going to do if you continue in this way, this is what's going to happen. And it basically means he was going to die. And he actually humbled himself and he fasted and he humbled himself before God and repented. And God actually lifted the judgment. And there was a massive shift there. So even for ourselves or for somebody else to intercede on their behalf, and specifically also for somebody's salvation, for somebody's their coming to Christ or, you know, getting to know Him, that's a good place to fast. We often do this in mission trips, right? Or before mission trips. We fast together as a team. And I believe this is one of the big reasons why we have had such incredible grace on our missions program. If you don't know, we send every from all the Shofar congregations, we send hundreds of teams, literally, to many, many countries every year on short-term mission trips. And where other churches, I've often heard of people talking about crazy illnesses or accidents or fatalities, we have had nothing like that. We've had some illness, yes, but nothing as serious as that. And so what we do is that every day that our team is out there in the mission field, every member of the team has one person per day praying and fasting for them specifically. You know, and I think that's a big part of why we see incredible fruit that we see on our mission trips. Maybe that's a tip for us to fast more often when we're home as well, right? Because often people ask, why do we see all these miracles on missions and we come home and there's no miracles in South Africa? You know, that's how it feels. Maybe that's a tip, guys. I don't know. Just throwing it out there. Okay. Another reason why we fast is because we fast for miracles of healing or just to see the power of God in terms of healings and miracles. And as I mentioned, we see a lot of that on our mission trips. We see crazy miracles of healing and deliverance and all kinds of other things. And that often goes together with fasting. One of the first encounters I've had with this thing on a mission trip was when we did that trip. Some of you may know of it. We cycled around the borders of South Africa, and it was a prayer trip, right? So we cycled along the borders, and then every day we'd stop and pray for that area and have communion. And although we didn't fast, although the first year there was a bit of a miscommunication about the food budget and the, obviously having cycling an average of 140 Ks a day, you want to eat enough, but there was a bit of a thing there. And by the end, the guys were so proud because they had still half of the food budget left. And the team leader was very upset about that because that's the one mission where you don't want to save on food. But anyway, so we were doing a partial fast, apparently, while we were cycling. So, but what I experienced is that because of this physical demand on our bodies, it was almost like a fast. Because our flesh had to die every day. Because, you know, cycling is fun, and I cycle a lot. But when you do it for 6 weeks on end, 5,000 kilometers, there comes a point where it's not fun anymore. Especially if it's been raining for a week, or if it's 40 degrees, or all kinds of stuff. So there was an element of every morning saying, okay, God, I cannot do this in my own strength. I need your presence. I need your power. I need you. Otherwise, I'm not going to make it. And I remember the times of intercession we had every day were so incredibly anointed and powerful because we were so weak. When we are weak, He is strong. And we were at the end of ourselves every day, and we could intercede in an incredible way because we were so focused in the Spirit. So that is a lot of how fasting works, is the flesh is weak, but your spirit is alive and is connecting with God and is able to clearly discern the will of God in an amazing way. All right. Does that make sense? And then we see in the life of Christ, we see Jesus fasting. We see Him fasting 40 days. And that was at the start of His ministry. So we see this incredible place where Jesus gets baptized. God opens the heavens and says, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The Holy Spirit comes upon Him, powerful moment. And then the first thing that He does, He goes into the wilderness and He fasts for 40 days. And it's in that time where the enemy comes at Him and there's a battle going on. And that part of that fasting, I believe, was Jesus starting to take back the dominion that we gave away when Adam gave that authority to the devil in the garden and right in the beginning. And so Jesus was fasting and He was battling in the spirit with the enemy, starting to take back that dominion. And that's often a good place to fast. Maybe in your family, maybe there's, you know, when I recognize, you know, my children are getting sick all the time, or there's stuff going on in my marriage that shouldn't be there, and it's chaos, and I'm thinking, what's going on? And I realize, wow, maybe I should be taking authority in the Spirit. Maybe I should be taking back dominion in the Spirit and standing up as the king and the prophet and the priest in my house. And that often involves fasting. Amen. So in a similar way, maybe in your studies, maybe in your family, maybe at your home or your workplace, if there's a place where you recognize, well, me as a believer, I need to stand in the authority that God has given me, that's probably going to involve some fasting as well. Saying, okay, Lord, this year, I want to see your kingdom come in my class. This year, I want to see your kingdom come in my workplace. I want to walk in the authority that you've given me, the place you've put me. So I'm going to set time aside to fast and trust God to take that authority. Are you with me this evening? Amen. Maybe for your residence, we used to do that a lot at our residence in Stellenbosch. We used to fast and pray. There was a time when me and Pastor Ross, who's now a pastor in Durbanville, pray every morning, most mornings, pray for the res, and we saw incredible fruit. Not specifically in the time we were there, that we were sowing those seeds, and in the time just as we were leaving the res, and as we started to see the fruit of that prayer, people coming to salvation, incredible things happening. But maybe that's the word for somebody, that to say, okay, what am I missing? What are the breakthroughs that you and I are missing because we're not willing to push a little harder? What are the blessings and the promises from God that we are not fully experiencing because we are not willing to get a bit uncomfortable? There's this incredible account where Jesus sends out the disciples. He gives them authority over demons and He sends them to preach the gospel, and they come back with incredible excitement and rejoicing. They say, they give testimonies of all these amazing things that have happened, and they're excited about people getting healed and delivered, and people, demons being, you know, people being delivered from demons. But then they say, but there's this thing that happened, there's this one demon that we wouldn't listen to us. And then Jesus had to address the demon, and then the demon listened to Jesus. And then they asked him, but how is this possible? Why did this happen? And then Jesus said something important. He said, some only go by prayer and fasting. He's saying that, yes, you've experienced the power of God, and maybe that's true for some of us. We've experienced the deliverance of God. We've experienced healings. We've experienced miracles, and we've experienced an element of the power of God. But he's saying, there's another step. There's another dynamic that we can push into. Some of the blessing and power and deliverance that maybe comes only by prayer and fasting. We're willing to push a little bit harder. Are you with me this evening? Amen. I'm going to almost close. I just want to read from Galatians chapter 6. Briefly, we mentioned this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I want to say to you that if God is stirring something in you this evening, maybe to get into a habit of a monthly, once a month or once a week, of a healthy habit of fasting, then I want to encourage you, do not grow weary of doing good. Do not grow weary, but persist in it. And trust God to see the reap the rewards, to, as it says here, to reap everlasting life, to reap fullness of life in Christ. Okay, and if you'd stand so long, I want to read us the last scripture. And this is I'm just going to give the context here. So this is a well-known part in Joel chapter 2. There's a prophecy about about God pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. And we love to quote that. It's a promise of God going to pour out His Spirit, and it speaks of God pouring out His Spirit on all age groups, all generations. It speaks about young men and old men and young ladies and dreams and visions, and it's a powerful, powerful prophecy, and we love to quote it. But what comes before that? We don't often read that. And what happened before that is that there was a fast, and that prophecy and that promise was, that's what's going to be the result of the fast. So I want to read from chapter 2 there, from I think it's verse 12. Now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. He relents from doing harm. Who knows if He will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind Him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. And then it goes into the blessings that are going to come, and the blessings that will follow. And we often quote those, and we remind God of His prophecy and His promise, but I want to say to us, what comes before that? Are you and I willing to say, you know what, not only when I hear an audible voice. Sometimes that's the only, you know, we fast when the small group facilitator says, guys, we all must fast now. And we're just like, oh, okay, you know. Or when I hear God in an audible voice saying, no, I must fast about something. Okay, that's obviously important then to listen. But I want to say beyond that, how about fasting because I want to draw near to God? How about fasting because I have a desire to see more of His kingdom coming in my life? How about consecrating, and how about setting time aside, and how about making myself uncomfortable in the flesh so that I can see the reward in the Spirit and draw closer to God? Amen? Are you with me this evening? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Father, yeah, this is a challenging word, Father. This is a challenging topic, Father. But we thank you, God, that Jesus, in John 10, verse 10, says, I have come. The thief, the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. God, this evening we pray that you'd stir in our hearts a desire, not only for the abundance of life that you invite us to have in Christ, but to know you more. A hunger, Lord, stir in us a hunger, a thirst for more of you, Lord. Stir in us a desire for your presence. God, I believe that you're stirring in our hearts right now, Lord. That question of what abundance, what fullness of life am I missing out on? What extent of blessing and breakthrough and healing and deliverance am I actually not grasping because I'm living comfortably? I'm allowing my body to dictate what is really important. So in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for that you deliver us this evening. Thank you that you stir in us a hunger and a thirst for you, God. Thank you that you stir in us a revelation, even, Lord. You reveal to us what is really of eternal value. And how can we pursue that? How can we press into that? Father, and a big part of fasting is the element is where it's not about ourselves, but where it's about ministering to you. When we fast unto you, when we draw near to you, when we set time aside to seek your face, when we set time aside to seek your will and your purpose, when we say, I will abstain from this food or this drink or this stuff that I really like because I want to know you more, Lord, because I want to know your will for my life, because I want to know who I need to marry, I want to know which job I should take, I want to know, Lord, where you are calling me to go. I want to do your will. I want to see your power at work in and through my life. I pray that you'd stir that in us, stir that in our hearts this evening, Lord. In Jesus' name. As every eye is closed this evening, and maybe some of this is foreign for you, maybe this is crazy stuff, just thinking about not eating for weeks on end. Maybe this is, the whole church thing is new to you, this evening, or maybe you've been in church, but you haven't been in a while, and this is the first time in a bit. And I just feel God is extending an invitation this evening. And as I prayed earlier on, before, I feel there's such a grace this evening for us to draw near to Him. I feel that He's wanting to lift our heads to say, my son, my daughter, I've paid the price so that I can know you intimately. And that's the miracle of the cross, is that the God of the universe, the King of kings, the Lord of all, who is all powerful and all present and all wise, and he's the power and the source of behind everything around us. Yet he chooses to want to know you intimately. And this evening, I believe he's extending the invitation to each one here this evening. He's saying, I want to know you. And I have done what is necessary for you to know me. I've made provision for the sin that is coming between us. I've made provision for the guilt and the shame. I've sent my son to die in your place, to take that upon himself so that you can know me, so that I can know you, so that we can have a relationship, so that you can experience an abundance of life, not only in comfort and in what's comfortable, but in the fullness of life that lasts for eternity. Well, every eye is closed this evening. If that's you this evening, and you know there's a conviction in your heart right now that you know that you are not right with God, that something has to change. You know that before you meet Him in eternity, before your life on earth comes to an end, you need, something has to change, because you cannot face Him as you are right now. And you have a desire to change that. If that's you, and you have a desire to receive that gift of salvation, I would love to pray with you this evening. Right now, I feel God is extending His arms. He's opening up His arms. He's saying, "My son, my daughter, come to me. I love you so much." Maybe you're that person that's stuck in that cycle of destruction. Maybe it's a cycle of addiction, or maybe it's a cycle of depression. There's this cycle of destruction in your life. And this evening, you hear the voice of God saying, "My son, my daughter, I want to make you free. I've got freedom in store for you." While every eye is closed, if that's you this evening, I want you to raise your hand briefly. I'd love to just take a few minutes to pray for you. Is there anybody like that this evening? If you want to, you have a desire to know Him, thank you. If you have a desire to have a relationship with Him, thank you. If you have a desire to draw near to Him again, thank you. If you ever, maybe you've been around church, but right now you know you're not right with Him and you need to make a change, won't you raise your hand? I'd love to pray with you this evening. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. I want to ask you to do something really bold. If you've raised your hands, there's a couple of hands that have gone up, and I know there's different reasons and different places you're coming from, but I believe there's a powerful place of saying to God, "Yes, Lord, here I am. I need you right now. I want to respond to you." And I want to ask you to respond in a way to just take your belongings and to come to the front. We'd love to take some time to pray with you. But see it as a step of saying, "Lord, I hear your voice and I'm responding to your call right now." There's a whole bunch of hands that have gone up. I know it's a bold step, but I want you to ask you to take a step forward and join us in the front. We're going to pray with you. There we go. Take some boldness. There's no shame, guys. There's only joy. Amen. Amen. Just stand here and come. We're going to be praying soon. If you've raised your hand, or if you know you wanted to, I want to just give a moment or two still. There's a couple of guys that I want to really encourage you. This is just this, you stepping out and saying, "Listen, this is my time now. I want to walk into the fullness of God. I want to receive His fullness of salvation. I want to follow Him." So I want to ask you just to do, if that's you still this evening and you want to take that step, I'm just going to give you another moment or so. Take that bold step. Is there anybody else? Amen. We're going to take a moment to pray with these guys. While we're doing that, I want the facilitators to come forward. Guys, I want us to basically just bring our hearts before God. So I want to lead us in a prayer, if that's okay. So I'm going to pray, and I want everybody to pray after me. Okay, while the facilitators are coming up, if you want to still pray with us, you're welcome to join us. Okay. So as I pray, I want you to pray after me. Okay, let's do that. Lord Jesus. And I have everybody together, okay? Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for me. Today, I confess that I am a sinner. I cannot save myself, Lord. I've tried so many things to fix stuff in my life. I need a Savior. I believe, Lord, as I repent of my sin, you set me free. So I repent now. I choose to turn away from my old life. I turn away from my sin. And I choose to follow you. I believe in my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is my Lord and my Savior. That God has raised him from the dead. And that he has washed me clean. Thank you for new life, Lord. Thank you that you never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you that you call me your child. That you are my Father. That I can hear your voice. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in my life. Your peace right now that surpasses all understanding. Let your kingdom come, Lord, in my life and through my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.